Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the halachas that relate to the grain used for matzah. As an introduction to this concept, when this is the Kuf Ches, the 108th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. As an introduction to understanding this halacha, the Torah tells us that there is a mitzvah for us to eat, a commandment for the nation of Israel to eat matzah, which is unleavened bread, on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Unleavened bread means to say water and flour, which are mixed together but have not given enough time to rise before they are baked and the rising process has been stopped. This is a mitzvah to eat on the night of the 15th. For the 7 days that it seems that the Torah does not prescribe that one has to eat matzah like one eats on the night of the Seder. But there's certainly, if one wants to eat, once one wants to consume any product which is a hamotzi product, one would have to eat matzah. And according to the Vilna Gaon, it's a mitzvah kiyomes. It would be a fulfillment of a mitzvah, even though not a command to have that mitzvah, to have that matzah during that period in time. The Torah tells us that there's a great amount of care that needs to be given to making the matzahs. It says, "Ushmartem es hamatzos." You should guard the matzahs, and that means to say that the halacha tells us that we have to be very, very careful that not only the matzah does not ferment, but even the grain and the water used to make it have exceptional care given to them in order to ensure that the matzahs are completely unleavened. We will see that there's going to be care given to the grain from a very early stage and the water all the way through to the baking process to ensure that matzahs will not become leaven. This is also going to be helpful in understanding why it is that matzah in general is so expensive, because an incredible amount of work goes into keeping the mitzvah correctly. Let's jump straight in. We're going to look at basically 17 questions in understanding this. So from when must the grain be overseen? When does one need to be shomer to guard the grain? So the minhag is to make sure that it is not leavened from the time of grinding it. However, there are those who are machmir from the times of kitzira, from the times of harvesting. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch points out, hamedaktik im mitzvos, those people who are careful in mitzvos, will try to have matzah, which is looked after from the time of kitzira, from the time of harvesting, and that is called shmura matzah, guarded matzah. That means to say it is guarded from an earlier stage in the process as well. That's what we technically refer to that as. What if I cannot get hold of so much shmura matzah? So at the very least, one should try to ensure that the matzahs that one consumes for the night of the Seder should be shmura matzah, because that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah as well. What does it mean guarding the matzah from the time of harvest? Like what are you guarding from exactly? So the Kitzur points out that when one is harvesting it, it has to be ensured that the harvesting takes place before the full maturation of the grain. The grain cannot be white yet. It cannot be fully mature. It needs to be slightly green. And the reason is because once it's fully dry, then a good rain could have the effect of the water, because it no longer needs, that it's no longer suckling or nursing from the ground as much, it can start fermenting after a good rain. We're not concerned about dews, but we're concerned about a rain. And that's therefore we actually harvest it when it's slightly not ripe, just slightly green still. That's the first stage of shmira that is associated with the grain of matzah. Now, what if I was looking at the wheat, so I'm looking at all the grain, and I see that some of the kernels are cracked open. So they're cracked open, it's a sign that they already are fermenting. So those ones need to be removed, and the rest may be used. The Kitzur does add in that if there's a ratio of 60 uncracked grains to the one which is cracked or opening, then in that case, one can just grind it and there's no problem, because there is bittul, there is nullification. Generally speaking, even though we say, you cannot create this nullification process a priori, nonetheless, in this case, because it's before Pesach and at this point in time it's not Asr, it is fine. The Mishnah Berurah suggests that one should only rely on this B'shas HaDachak at the time when there's no other alternatives. When else should we be concerned? So we should be concerned if, let's say, we saw a mouse was at the grain and was eating it. Those grains certainly should be removed, not just for hygienic reasons, but the Kitzur is saying is because the saliva
of the mice would also start the fermentation process in the surrounding grains. What if the grain was stored in or transported in a place in which there could have been moisture? So if one does not know there was moisture, but there's a concern there could have been, and one looks at the grain and the grain is still hard and still looks regular, then it's fine. One can rely on that and they're using it as well. What happens if we know that rain fell on this bag or part of it? Then that may not be used. And even if only a patch got wet, really one should not use the rest of it, except that there's a great financial loss. And then one can assure, ascertain that they are, that it is in fact, it is in fact dry. What if snow or dew fell on it? So only the affected area needs to be removed and discarded for the matzahs. So great care is being taken. The grain remains dry. The grain remains dry to the point of grinding. We now move to the grinding stage. What is special about the millstone or the grinding equipment? So it needs to be cleaned and examined. This needs to be done by a person who is a mashgiach, who is a talmid chacham, a person who knows the halachas. It can be relied upon as an outside agency checking this. It's not just the business owner. Also, the first grinds of the year must be discarded because there's a concern that maybe in the machine itself were old grains which perhaps did not go through the same regimen of care, and there could be chametz in there as well. So that first grain is discarded even after cleaning the machine as well. What about the sacks for the grain? The sacks for the grain also must be new each year to avoid the concern that maybe they were used in the previous years for chametz grains as well. If there is an issue of a different machine, is there an issue if in the same room there is a different machine which is grinding, let's say, damp grain, but the machine you're using is completely cleaned and dry and so on, and dry grain? Well, there's no real concern, but when the Kitzer points out that there should be a mechitza, there should be some sort of division to avoid the dust of the wet grain mixing into the flour of the matzah grain is what we're concerned. Again, every possible concern is adjusted here. What happens if now I have my flour, so I've ground up my grain into nice fine flour, but that sack of flour fell into a puddle? So one should grab the area that was wet and empty out the flour and use the rest of the flour which is not wet. So you hold on to the wet area and then you pull out the rest and that's fine. What happens if it's wet in a few spots, so I can't just hold that clump? In that case, one should take out the grain and sift it. Usually the wet grain sticks together in clumps and will not go through, and that should be discarded or not used for matzah, and the rest can be used as well. What happens if it is already dried? So it dropped in a puddle in a few places. It's already dry, so I can't sift. In that case, one should not use it because there's a concern that part of that grain, part of that flour, in this case, may have started fermenting, and you cannot separate it at this point in time. Can one grind and bake it right away? So can I grind the flour and go straight into the oven? The answer is no. And the reason is because the grain remains hot the flour remains hot from the grinding process, and therefore more apt to ferment faster when you add the water for the matzah with it. So one needs to really wait 24 hours after grinding before starting the baking process. Can one use the same sacks for flour that one used either previous year or this year? The answer is no. One should have new sacks for flour, or one should have the old sacks and open them up so there's no tight corners or anything, and wash them out with soap and make sure that it's fully dried before being used again. Finally, last point in transporting the flour sacks, are there any pointers? The answer is yes. One has to be careful that the flour sacks are not placed directly on the back of an animal because of the sweat of that animal, which could therefore seep into the sacks and start fermentation on the area around it. So it needs to be, there's a barrier which is put on, let's say a leather saddle between the animal and the grain sack. And similarly, one should not pile up too many sacks of grain one on top of each other, because with the movement of travel and transportation, with the heat of many sacks being upon each other, that could also start the process of fermentation. So as we can see, just dealing with the grain used for the matzah, a significant amount of investment of time and energy is made to ensure that there's not any aspect of fermentation whatsoever. With this, we conclude the grain. We'll deal with the water, Be'ezra Hashem, tomorrow. Have a wonderful meeting.